Hi, I'm Chris Spezak, and this is the Words You Should Know podcast. No matter how you're using your words, in emails or essays, poetry or presentations, you've got to start somewhere. Maxwell Perkins, the book editor best known for the writers he discovered, including Ernest Hemingway, Thomas Wolfe, and F. Scott Fitzgerald, once said, "Just get it down on paper, and then we'll see what to do about it." No matter what you're writing or planning to say, it's true, isn't it? Just get it down. Just spit it out. Nothing can be carved into a masterpiece if you don't even have the lump of clay. Being an English language and grammar pro isn't a matter of what degrees you've earned or what witty pun you might have on your coffee mug. Oh yes, I am talking to you with your "the past, the present, and the future walked into a bar. It was tense" mug. Sure, I love it. Looking to comfort a word lover? There, there, there. Okay, that one might have made more sense if you could actually see the different spellings, but I think you hear me. But witty mug in hand or not, let's keep working on our words, and let's keep amusing ourselves and discovering their fascinating roots along the way. Are grammar skills a rite of passage? Perhaps. Should you have bragging rights about it? You're better than that, aren't you, folks? My biggest question here, though, is how do you spell those rights? Rite of passage? Bragging rights? You think on that, and I'll come back to it. First, let's get a bit language nostalgic and take a walk down word memory lane. I recently stumbled on an amazing resource from the American Dialect Society that recorded the most popular words of the year, words and phrases that filled American pop culture, words that were most likely to succeed, words that were the most unnecessary, and more from every year between 1990 and 2018. Some of the highlights I have to share. In 1991, the word, or should I say setup phrase, of the year was "mother of all," as in the mother of all writing tips, which I just said in last week's podcast. That gave me a smile. Thanks, 1991, though then again, 1991's most rapidly growing phrase was "in your face." So there's that. 1997's word of the year was "millennium bug," also known as the Y2K bug. 1998's word of the year wasn't a word or a phrase, but a prefix, specifically e-hyphen, for adding electronic onto existing words like email and e-commerce. Wild stuff. And of course, we've dropped that hyphen in those words over time. 2000's word of the year was Chad, but before you start getting heated over politics, let me cheer you up with the same year's most likely to succeed word, muggle. 2005's word of the year was truthiness, credited to Stephen Colbert on the Colbert Report. Interesting. And also relevant from the same year was the new and useful word, podcast, an audio recording like what you're listening to right now, which gained its name from the merging of broadcast and Apple's iPod. 2006's word of the year was a verb for the year, to be Plutoed, as in to be demoted or devalued. Aw, poor Pluto. I know I could go on here, I kind of want to, but I won't. Links to the full list are in my show notes. Alright, so let's circle back to that question. Bragging rights. Rites of passage. Do you have your answers? Discussions of rights, R-I-G-H-T-S, are sometimes tricky. Discussions of rights, R-I-T-E-S, are often equally complicated. Discussions of why you can capitalize both of these words might be intimidating, but discussing the differences between these two rights shouldn't be a matter that mystifies us. Remember, right, R-I-G-H-T, can mean correct. It can mean the opposite of left. It can also mean what is just, fair, and proper, or the embodiment of something that you can claim as your due. Right, R-I-T-E, is often, but not always, used in a religious sense as a ceremonial act or initiation that one goes through. Once these definitions are sorted out, we can tackle the question of rite of passage. A rite of passage, R-I-T-E, is a moment or ritual that acts as a crossover to a new stage of life. A religious confirmation is a rite of passage, as is marriage, as is middle school grilling in grammar jargon that may or may not have shaped your excitement about the English language. This is a phrase that was first used in 1909, but I'm guessing it wasn't because of that last example. A rite of passage, R-I-G-H-T, doesn't come up nearly as much as the first. It could refer to the ability or permission to cross through a certain territory. In fantasy writing, it might include trolls that are blocking a bridge, or in other writing, it might be a typo. Chances are, most of the time, It's a typo. Yes, you can get this right. Correct language use is not a rite of passage. The understanding of moot versus mute or hone versus home as a gateway to adulthood? Think on that. Maybe it should be. Personally, I like the idea. What can we do to make that happen? As for those bragging rights, you're probably absolutely right that it's bragging rights spelled R-I-G-H-T-S, not bragging rights R-I-T-E-S. There's no holy ceremony involving bragging to the heavens, but brag as an English word does have a story of its own. And it's more than the popularity of hashtag humblebrag, contender for 2011's Word of the Year. Brag's origin is a linguistic mystery. There's no Latin or Greek root. It appeared in Middle English, and no one quite knows why. The French actually get their word for brag from the English. That's not a story you hear often. And it's one that makes you pause and think a little bit about different cultures over time, doesn't it? But as we're thinking about English and French, I already hear it coming up in your mind. You're thinking about the Italian braggadocio. But may I let you in on a little secret? Braggadocio, as in cockiness or arrogance, was actually a word invented by the English poet Edmund Spenser. Yes, someone writing in English, adding in an Italian ending to create a mock Italian word to name a character in his 1590 epic poem, The Fairy Queen. And, of course, it stuck. Spenser most likely had no idea it would leave such a legacy, so there was nothing he could quite humble brag about. Though his was an era of braggarts, not Twitter hashtags. Fun fact, in the 1500s, braggart came into English from a French version of the word, which of course came from brag, which was borrowed from English. All of this unrelated to braggadocio, which is fake Italian. Should you humble brag about knowing all of this? Nah, the secrets of communication, like the secrets of life, are all about how you connect with others. Try your best, connect well, we can all step it up a notch, right? And that's right with R-I-G-H-T, of course. Raise your hand if you are constantly surprised by the English language. Okay, you can't see me, but my hand is totally raised. Are you curious or confused about the words you use every day? Sign up for my free monthly newsletter to learn more and to stay in the loop with my latest blogs and podcasts. And of course, for more information, there's my book, An Elements of Style for the Twitter Generation, called Get a Grip on Your Grammar, 250 writing and editing reminders for the curious or confused. Learn all about this and more at getagriponyourgrammar.com. For the emoji lovers, you can even find it all at openbooklightbulb.ws. Yes, use the emojis in your address bar. I invite you to share your latest writing updates or insights with me, or just drop by to say hi. Words, language, communication. You've got this.